Hello again. Well, so far it's calm still. We continue to have COVID variants, i.e. the Indian variety off our coasts. And clearly it's a bit of a race against time to vaccinate all the suitable peeps. But these two doses, given that one dose would seem to give about 33% protection, with a considerably higher protection status after that second dose. I see a medic in Bradford has just become the first person in the world to receive a booster COVID jab by way of volunteering for a clinical trial to assess the usefulness in the ongoing struggle via this sneaky little piece of RNA. How a few amino acids on a single protein chain of RNA, ribose nucleic acid, could wreak such havoc is frankly astounding to me still. But it does, and it has, so we have to live with it. Clearly, we're having to do that. That may involve serial booster vaccinations, of course. As the thing continues to evolve, mutate, twist and turn in its bid to furnish itself with our nose, throats and lungs linings. It's as simple as that. I thought DNA was complicated, but RNA? Wow. Lots of hay fever about. But also some sun-related issues too, not just sunburn. The higher temperatures in itself a very good reason to up your fluid intake, of course. And a lot of people just don't do that. You know when you're adequately hydrated, as your urine is nice and clear, or slightly lemon yellow with plenty of it. Not akin to tea without milk in it. This being a very simple test, of course, which, although obvious, is often just ignored. Cries of, crikey, that's my first wee since this morning, as we reach evening time, is just not good enough. Even slight dehydration affects your concentration, your energy levels, everything. Keep well hydrated, and don't forget, of course, water is still the best thing on the planet. Fruit juice is okay, tea, coffee okay, but caffeine, of course, means that you wee a bit more, so if you drink a pint of tea or a pint of normal caffeinated coffee, you'll be weeing a pint in a bit. Same with alcohol, disastrous from that point of view. And a lot of the high sugar containing drinks, many are available. They also produce a fair amount of water drag, meaning you have to excrete quite a lot of extra water to actually cope with the extra sugar in that particular substance. The urine, of course, incredibly affects what we consume, and almost instantly does so. Check the response to gobbling some asparagus, for example, or the vitamin-laden urine we often test in our surgeries. Its golden in colour and pangs of typically vitamin B complex. Other examples of this being, say, brewer's yeast tablets. They do the same thing. Then there is sugar. In everything we see on the shelf, seemingly, nowadays. And if the urine has containing sugar, you can't tell, of course. But the look of horror on the unsuspecting faces on the unwitting patients who casually have dropped in a urine sample for routine testing, possibly after having some issues of weeing a lot or getting up at night for lots of urine passages or repeated infections or the like. Sugar on the dipstick can spell diabetes. This year sees insulin celebrate 100 years since those scientists, Drs. Banting and Best in Toronto, isolated this protein from a dog's pancreas. Only able to be fully sequenced and unravelled in structure about 30 years later, it's now the first protein that was produced in the world by the new recombinant DNA technology. So nowadays, we have lots of different insulins. They're basically human in nature, not extracted as they used to be from cows, cattle, pigs, or the like. Humans have a wonderful capacity to astound, grow, and regroup, and innovate. COVID, posed threats, will surely be just another such challenge to overcome, but we will surely have to play all our parts in this process. Thanks to the Isle of Man population, hard work, care, compassion, and sense of duty and community, we're heading in the right direction. I hope, I think. Till next week, cheerio.